Philippians chapter 1, verses 2 through 11. This is the reading of God's Word. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. In view of your participation in the gospel, from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart. Since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you, all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time. We pray that you would grant an ear to hear your word, and that your Spirit will work in us, that we may hear the loving voice of God through your word, telling us the wonderful stories of Jesus Christ, what he has done and accomplished for us. And as we see our heavenly reality through your word, let us rejoice and give you all the glory, honor, and power. Let us give the thanksgiving. We pray that our faith will grow and will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ, that we will obey you more and more to bring glory to you. Bless us and receive all the glory. We pray all this in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we will look at this passage for many weeks to come. Verses 1 and 2 were the greeting section of the letter. Now, verses 3 through 11, which we are looking, these verses are the thanksgiving prayer of Paul. Verses 3 through 8 are Paul's thanksgiving, and verses 9 through 11 are Paul's prayer. Or the Corinthian church. Philippians church. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The proper response of the people of God who have received grace and peace from our God is thanksgiving, praise, and prayer. Thanksgiving prayer is enjoying the peace that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. We will see this in more detail later, but if we go to chapter 4 and read from verse 6 through 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We are to humbly pray to God, but with thanksgiving. It is not the thanksgiving after you have received what you asked for. No, you pray with thanksgiving. You start with thanksgiving. Then it says, if you pray with thanksgiving, the emphasis is not that God will give you what you ask for, but the emphasis here is the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds. God's peace will guard your hearts and minds. And we have already looked at this peace in verse 2. It is already accomplished our reality of heaven. Through what Jesus has done and accomplished, it is already given to us. The peace here is not given to you because you have prayed, but we are able to pray to God because the peace with God, peace of God, is already given to us. Peace is not a result of your prayer. It is not that calm, comfortable feeling you get after you have prayed. We're not talking about that. To pray to God is to enjoy the peace that God has already given to you. Unless that you have peace with God, all your prayers will be useless. God will not hear it. The everlasting peace of God. The prayer is to witness that peace. That as you pray to God, you witness to everybody, I have peace with God. Thus we pray with thanksgiving. Thus we pray with joy. No matter how bad our earthly situation might be, with the thanksgiving for that reality of heaven, we are to pray. There is no complaint in heaven. We are to witness that reality even in our prayers. Thus, with thanksgiving and joy. See, we now live in a new era in which we are to pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, you will not find any passage, you know, God never told the Old Testament people to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus came and accomplished our eternal salvation. He accomplished our eternal reality of heaven. And we are to pray in terms of what He has done and what He has accomplished already for us. Thus, before anything, before we ask anything, there comes thanksgiving. Just the fact that you are able to pray to God, what does that say? What does that say about what kind of salvation that you already have? Just the fact that you are confident that God will hear your prayers. So before anything comes thanksgiving. Enjoying the peace, and as that peace dominates our lives, we pray to God. All have been accomplished. And we'll learn this when we study the Lord's Prayer during the Friday night Bible study. We're going to get there pretty soon. God told us to pray this way and gave us the Lord's Prayer. And when we pray according to the Bible, when we pray according to the will of God, when we pray as our Lord Himself is praying for us, we realize as we pray that what we ask, all we ask, is already accomplished by God. It's already ours. Thy kingdom come. Well, it's already here. And yet we are to pray, Thy kingdom come. You know, I've been telling you what Jesus Christ accomplishes, always accomplishes in two stages. Thus, our heavenly reality, our reality of salvation is already and not yet. But as we pray according to the will of God, for example, let's say I'm praying that you will be more and more like Christ. And I do. But even as I pray that, I realize that you are already like Christ. Spiritually, you have been already saved, you have been already been resurrected, and you are seated with Christ in that heavenly place. You are already like Christ. But there's that not yet aspect. But see, this already aspect gives me confidence that not yet aspect will come true. No matter what, it will come true. So I pray, even as I ask that you will be more like Christ, I give thanks that you are already like Christ, and you will be. And that is guaranteed. Because it is already your spiritual reality. And everything is like this. If we pray according to the Bible, if you read the prayers that you could find in the Bible, especially this Lord's Prayer and all Paul's prayer, if you do that, you realize all has been already accomplished. Thus, we pray with certainty because it is already accomplished. When I pray for you that you will be more like Christ, I don't doubt. Because it is your already reality. We'll get back to that a little bit later. And we participate in the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to search the Bible to pray according to the will of God. Pray the same things that our Lord Jesus Christ is praying for us, namely praying for others. Praying for the others. So if you read verses 3 to 8, it's Paul's thanksgiving to God, but thanksgiving for the others. And verse 9 through 11 is Paul's praying for others, for the others, and it's never self-centered at all. And you might want to ask at this point how self-centered your prayers are. How self-centered your thanksgiving to God are. But that is not what we find here. And that is not how even Jesus prays. He's praying for the other people. We pray with faith. We pray believing what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for us, believing the peace of God that has already accomplished for us. The content of Paul's thanksgiving prayer here witnesses that reality. And that's the point that I want you to clearly understand. Even in his prayer, we could see his faith. Even in his prayer and thanksgiving, we could see what he believes. What he believes to be already accomplished in Christ. So, even praying is by faith. In faith. Now, verses 3 and 4. Look at Paul, what Paul says here, 3 and 4 and verse 7 and verse 8. Let me read to you. I thank my God. Okay. But he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. And verses 7b, he says, I have you in my heart. Verse 8, he says, for my God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. He says, every time I think of you, I thank my God. Now, we know that the congregation, all those congregants in Philippian church, they were not perfect people. And if we read this letter in certain places, we could kind of get the hint what kind of problems that this church had. I mean, why would Paul emphasize certain things in this letter when he does not emphasize the same thing in other letters? Because it's specific to that church at that time. But, you know, that doesn't mean that, that God's word is only for a certain type of people. No, that's not what I'm saying. But we could kind of look at, you know, Philippians, look at Corinthians, and we could see what kind of problems the churches even have today. If you read chapter 2, I'm going to read from you verse 2. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. And if you go to chapter 4, verse 2, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. It's obvious that they're not living in harmony. We could see from these verses that there were some problems in Philippian church. What is that? Self-centered life. Selfish way in which some of these people lived. But just by looking at Paul's thanksgiving prayer for them in our passage, it seems that there is absolutely no problem. In every remembrance of you, I give my thanks to God. Every time I remember you, and every time I remember all the things about you, I give thanks to God. Huh? How could Paul give this kind of thanksgiving for them? Isn't he lying when he say this? When you think about your brothers and sisters, when I think about you, isn't that more like, oh, there's a complaint? Man, why is it like that? Do I give thanks to God? Every single time I think of you, and you think of me, and you think of other people here in the church? How could Paul do this? I mean, come on. Okay, I do give thanks, but not every single time I remember you. How could Paul give this kind of thanksgiving for them? How could Paul, when he thought about each of them, rather than thinking about their faults and sin, always give thanks to God for them? How? The answer is because of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you must understand this. And I want you to pay attention here because Paul is not lying to us. See, this is word of God. This is truth. And if Paul is lying, then this cannot be truth. Then this is not God's word. Then our next question is, okay, Paul is not lying. Then how could he do this? That's the next question. So that we may learn how he did this, so that we may do the same. It's because of the gospel, because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished, because of the reality of heaven that our Lord has accomplished, because of the grace and peace of God, Paul gives thanks for them in terms of all that Christ has done and all that Christ is doing now and all that Christ will consummate when he comes back. See, everything that he's thinking in his mind, everything that he determines, everything that he understands, everything that he knows, is all in terms of what Jesus Christ has already done and accomplished, and is in terms of what Jesus is doing even now, and is in terms of what Jesus will consummate when he comes back. Because that is already our spiritual reality. He cannot get away from Jesus Christ and what he has done and what he is doing and what he will do. Thus he says, I give thanks every time I remember you, and with joy I pray for you. Why? Verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul is certain that God has already begun a good work in them. And Paul is certain that God has given grace and peace to them. And Paul is certain that these people have received already the eternal salvation of heaven. God has made them the citizens of heaven, the sons of God, the eternal bride of heaven, and so on and so on. Paul understands what happened to them already in Christ. And Paul understands what Christ is doing in them right now. And Paul understands how they're going to be because of Christ when Jesus returns. There's no doubt in his mind. I am certain, he says. See, it's not about how they are. It's not about who they are. It's not about how they live or whatever. It's about they in Christ. When you remember me, do you remember me in Christ? Or you just remember me? Paul is certain that God is working in them. And at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, God will consummate their heavenly reality visibly. No matter how they are now to Paul's eyes, how weak and how feeble, how just all they could do is seem like sin. No matter how they are right now to Paul's eyes, physical eyes, their eternal reality is perfect. And that reality is already accomplished spiritually. And that reality will be perfected, will consummate visibly. This is what Paul believes. So when I think of you, I have to think of you in terms of who you are in heaven. And when I think of you as who you are in heaven, how can I not give thanks? And this is exactly what Paul is doing. How can I not be joyous about who you are? Unless you totally disregard what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing, and what Jesus will do, if you completely disregard all that, then okay. But if you are mindful of that, how can you not give thanks? This is what Paul is doing. And he's not doing something that is impossible. It's not like, yes, he's a super Christian, but it's not like that. You are able to do this with faith. Yes. I'm a witness to this fact that more and more I think of you, I give thanks. Brothers and sisters, it is possible. It is our reality. It's all about what we believe. How can Paul not be joyous as he thinks of them? And because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for them, Paul is now certain that they are participating together with him in the gospel, verse 5. And that they are partakers of grace with him. That through the work of the Holy Spirit, they are in his heart and in Christ. He loves them with the affection of Christ. You need to understand the reason why Paul loves them this much. It's not because Paul is a great guy or loving guy or these people are lovable. It's all because of Christ and what he has done. You know, talk about love without Christ, it's nonsense. You know, if Christ never came and he would never come, then I don't care how much you could talk about love one another, we're going to go to hell and hate one another forever and ever. That's our reality. So this whole world talking about loving, this is nonsense. It's pretending. It's false. It's fake. But with Christ, in Christ, you cannot not love. And this is Paul's understanding. Because of what Christ has done and what he is doing and what he will do, Paul is certain that these people participate together with him in the gospel and that they are partakers of grace of God with him, and that the Holy Spirit binds them together, that it is already heavenly reality that these people are in his heart. You know, I guarantee you, when you go heaven, I will always be on your thought, and you will always give thanks because of me, and you will be joyous because of me. And Paul is already living that life that belongs to heaven. Even though he's not there yet physically. His faith is so certain that it just dominates him. It drives him. Brothers and sisters, I want you to remember this. You and I, we are participating together in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is our reality, whether you realize it or not. And I pray that you would now start believe that. But that is our reality. That we are participating together in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, we are partakers of grace of God. You are in my heart, and I am in your hearts. You might refuse to have me in your heart, but see, you will. You will. You might refuse that right now, but you will. I'm certain of it. You are in my heart, and I am in your heart. This is our reality. This is who we are. This is what is true of us forever and ever. You have to believe. And we do love one another with the heart of Jesus Christ. It might not be the visible reality right now, but this is how we are going to be forever and ever in heaven. And that reality is accomplished spiritually already. You need to believe. And we must witness that reality as much as possible, much as we can. And we got to give all we have to do that. Brothers and sisters, all is accomplished, and all is being accomplished, and all will be perfectly consummated visibly. Thus, every time we think of one another, we give thanks, and we give thanks joyfully. For we are confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in us will perfect it until the day of Christ. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? Is this your faith? Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the gospel. It's not how well you're going to do on your own strength and how God's going to be so, happy because you did this on your own. That's not what gospel is. Gospel is that the salvation is the work of God from beginning to the end. It's His work. And we're confident that He began a good work in us and He will finish this. And we'll look at this verse next time, next Lord's Day, verse 6. But from verse 3 and 4, and verse 7 and verse 8, I want you to understand this before we go. From this passage that we read, we learn the heart and mind of Paul towards the Philippian church, Philippian congregation. And we learn how we must love one another. And you might even say, oh, there's a good picture of how pastor must be. But Bible is not just written for the pastor, it's written for all of us. This is how we must be all together. But I want you to remember this, that it is Paul's letter to Philippian church, but it is the word of God to you. So here, you're not just learning the mind and heart of Paul, But it is God's word to you. Thus, we see from this passage, we see the heart and mind of our Lord Jesus Christ toward you. Do you understand, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ, our Lord? Every time he thinks of you, thinks of me, every time he thinks of us, he gives thanks to his Father. And he does that with joy. Every time he thinks of you, thanksgiving and joy. This is reality of our Lord Jesus Christ. His heart is full of joy as he prays for us. We are always in his heart, and he loves us with whole of his heart. He with full joy prays for us with thanksgiving in heaven, even now. He has no doubt how perfect you're going to be. Do you understand what is happening even now in heaven? He knows how perfect you are and you will be. And we must have the same mind, same heart as Jesus Christ. He calls us and makes us participate in his work of witnessing of himself to the ends of the world. We are participating in the spreading of the gospel as Jesus goes out to the ends of the world. As he told us, go out to the ends of the world and I will be with you. Meaning, he is the one who is going out to the ends of the world. And we are partakers, we are partners with him in this gospel. This is what is true of us, brothers and sisters. He has already started the good works in you, and he will finish it, he will perfect it. Until that day when we see him face to face. How can we not give thanksgiving with joy and praise to our God every time we think of one another? Not to do so is to deny what Jesus has done. Deny what Jesus will consummate. And that will be the last thing we want to do. As long as you believe what Jesus has done and what he will consummate, then every time you think of me, you must give thanks. And with joyful heart, pray for me. I want you to go out that door today with this understanding and belief. And I pray that every one of you will go out and think about one another. And you will see your brothers and sisters in Christ. You will see their eternal reality. You will see how they are in heaven forever and ever. Meaning that you will think of them in faith and you will give thanksgiving and joyfully pray for them. Pray for one another. Brothers and sisters, let's do this week and see how everybody will look different, even to our physical eyes, how everybody will look much better next Lord's Day. I guarantee it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that even our Lord Jesus Christ, when he thinks of us, he gives thanks to you. With joy, he prays for us. And he is certain how we will be, what kind of citizens of heaven that we will be forever and ever. Because it is he who works in us. And he prays for us. And Father, let us have that same mind of Christ. And let us think of one another with thanksgiving and joy. Joyfully pray for their salvation and their sanctification and their glorification. And joyfully have them in our hearts. And love. Love them with the affection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.